We're singing about God with us and what it's like to have God with us. But have you ever had that experience of being in a crowd and feeling like an outsider? How many of you have ever had that experience? You know, I hate that feeling. You're in a room full of people and there's talking and there's handshakes and there's smiling and there's laughing and there's music and there's singing and all these fun things. But you don't feel like you belong. You're feeling like an outsider. That problem actually existed when the very church began. Because the first believers in Christ were almost exclusively Jewish. And Judaism has some extremely strong and uniting traditions and values. They have the whole Old Testament. They have all of the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon, and Moses. They have the prophets. They have the exile. They have the suffering together. They have the prayers. And almost all of the very first Christians were Jewish. But then something wonderful started to happen. The Christian message, we find out, wasn't just for Jewish people. It was for Gentiles. It was for non-Jewish people. And to their amazement, the Gentiles were turning to Jesus as well. And the letter which we read to the Ephesians was to a group of believers in the Gentile city of Ephesus. And the Gentiles, we find out, were able to enjoy the exact same relationship with God that the Jewish people had. And God's mercy and God's grace was astounding. And there was a lot of rejoicing. But it wasn't all wine and roses. Christianity came out of Judaism. And the Jewish believers all had this strong faith tradition in which they came to understand Christ. But what about these new Gentiles? They didn't have the same spiritual history. Were they second-class citizens? Did they belong in the church too? They weren't born Jewish. Were they really the same as the Jewish Christians? And some of the Jewish Christians made it clear that they thought, no, they weren't the same. They had disgusting morals. They had gross idolatry and false religion. The Gentiles didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't know that God had rescued the people of Israel from exile. They weren't born Jewish. How could the Gentiles have the same relationship with God that the Jewish people had? So there was this racial and cultural and religious prejudice that was an immediate problem in the early church when the Gentiles started believing in Jesus. And it had the potential to tear the movement apart. Would the church survive the natural prejudices that existed between Jewish people and Gentile people when they both became believers? When Jesus was born, the angels announced to the shepherds, peace on earth. And we've considered how God's peace comes into our lives during this whole Advent season. And we're about to wrap things up. But I want you to see one more thing. God's peace is not just an internal spiritual benefit that we are designed to help us enjoy ourselves. When we drink of God's peace, it actually begins to flow out of our lives and into our relationships with others. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." racial and cultural and religious prejudice did not destroy the early church, though it threatened it. And the reason why is because the gospel of Jesus Christ brings peace. It brings peace to human hearts, and when God's children experience God's peace, peace overflows from their hearts into the lives of those around them. And that's what we're going to see today. It's going to be one long run-on sentence with three parts, okay? When those who had no peace find peace in Christ, they spread peace, okay? That's where we're going. When those who had no peace find peace in Christ, they spread peace. Let's look at verse 11 and 12, which talk about what it is like to have no peace. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Paul, the writer of this letter, was himself Jewish. But most of the people in the church to whom he was writing in Ephesus were not. They were Gentiles, and they came from various nationalities, various racial groups, and a variety of different religious backgrounds when they came to Jesus. And Paul doesn't hold back in describing how dark and spiritually void their past had been. These people did not grow up as worshipers and those who knew about the wonders of God in the lives of the people of Israel. They didn't know about the miracles. They didn't know about God's beautiful commandments. They didn't know God's promises to his people. They grew up with no spiritual hope. They had no connection with God in the world. They had been lost, and they knew no peace. A couple of years ago, Donna and I went for a hike in the hills of New York. And we got to the place where the hike started, the parking lot, and there was a little kiosk with a picture of the hiking map. I took a picture of it with my phone. You started down the red trail, hung a right on the blue trail, hung a left on the orange trail, and then hung another left back to the red trail, back to the car. Easy peasy. Except that the last left wasn't marked for 1,000 yards. There was no red marker. So when we got to the trail, we're like, no red marker here, and kept right on going. Then we started to see signs. Bridge out. This trail does not go through to the parking lot. My GPS wasn't working because there was no signal there, and it wouldn't tell me where I was. And we started to get uncomfortable, and we started to, is it okay to argue when you get lost? And we were debating, should we go back? Because, we were down to the last leg, and to go back was to go back uphill. And the forest went from beautiful to uncomfortable. Knowing that you are lost is a terrible feeling. At one point, you're just going along, everything's fine, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know where I am. This doesn't feel right. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Something's wrong. And Paul is reminding the Gentile believers in Ephesus that you once were lost. And sometimes when you've been a Christian for a long time, if you grew up as a very young person as a Christian, you forget what it was like to be spiritually lost and separated from God. Lost people believe all different kinds of things. Lost people do all kinds of different things. And when you don't know God, and you don't know good from bad, or right from wrong, the only thing that is right or wrong is what is right for the individual. And you do what you individually feel like is right or wrong. And there's no sense of direction and no sense of certainty. And ultimately, people live in God's world, but they have no relationship with Him. And it can turn into a very dark and lonely place. And Paul calls it without hope and without God in the world. No peace. But when those who know peace find peace in Christ, that's what's described in verses 13 through 19. Look there with me. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. Jesus came to bring people who were far off near. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. When you don't know God, when you never grew up hearing about God, it can seem like God is a million miles away. And in a way, He was, until Jesus Christ, who came to people who were far away. But not only that, Jesus came to remove all of the barriers that exist between us and God. Paul talks about how Jesus abolished the commandments. What does that mean? The commandments of God are His good and perfect will for all people. They are a roadmap for happiness with God in the world. They are the path to human thriving in the creation as God made us. But when we reject those commands, we set ourselves up as enemies to God. We take His design and for the best life on earth, and we turn our backs. And God's commands don't go away. We just go away from them. And in doing so, we become hostile towards God, and we say to Him, I'm just going to do what I want. Leave me alone. Who is He to tell me what to do anyway? And this is why Christ came. To turn God's enemies back into His friends. He does it by the cross. When we refuse God's commands don't just disappear. God doesn't say, oh shucks, I didn't really mean that. When we refuse God's commands, His commands become our accusers. We become enemies of God, and His commands accuse us before God. And the rift between us and between God becomes irreparable because of the purity of God's character and the perfection of his commands to his people. But when Christ went to the cross, God placed upon Jesus all of the charges that we deserved as enemies of God. And all of the charges that we deserved were leveled upon Christ on the cross. And when Jesus died, he took what we deserved. And when he rose, he gives us what we don't deserve: mercy. Jesus abolished condemnation of the law through his death on the cross. And when a person places their faith and hope in Jesus Christ, every obstacle that stood between us and God is removed. And we cease being enemies of God, and we become his sons and daughters, and we join the family of God. And Paul's point in saying that this applies to people from every spiritual background, no matter how dark or how broken. Whether you grew up in a religious Jewish family or whether you are Gentiles with no faith history, there are no second-class citizens in the church. And we are transformed from enemies of God to delighted worshipers of our Father. God's mercy through the cross of Jesus brings us near. And Jesus brings peace with God, and that filters into peace with one another. When those who did not know peace find peace in Christ, they spread peace. It's important to see here that peace with God is not something small. It's not this nice little internal blessing, this feeling that I have, that we just so we can be happy in life. Peace with God is something really, really big. It's God coming into history big. It's Jesus being born of a virgin big. It's an amazing, miracle-working, healing, loving Messiah big. It's the innocent Son of God crucified by the Romans big. It is the God moving time and history to the point of Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection big. Peace with God is a movement of God in the world. It is God taking all kinds of misfits and sinners and remaking them completely from the inside out. He's taking his enemies and turning them back into his sons and daughters and then sending them back into the world with his message of peace. In the books and the movies, The Lord of the Rings, there's a character by the name of Gollum. And Gollum had at one point possessed the Ring of Power, but he lost it. And he spends the rest of his entire life lamenting that he wished that he had the precious. Me once the precious, but the hobbitses, they took it from me. And by wanting the ring all to himself, he turns into a monster. Peace is with God. It's not something we have all to ourselves, like a precious ring. Peace with God is a movement of God in the world, from within to the ends of the earth. In verses 14 through 22, this is how Paul describes it. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Jesus removed the hostility. He killed the hostility. And he's not just speaking about the hostility that existed between us and God. He's talking about the hostility that can exist between people, especially people in the household of God. Jesus removed the hostility that we have with one another. In the world, people are judged by the color of their skin. They're judged by whether or not they came from a good family, whether or not they're where they live, whether they have money or not, whether or not they're cultured or not, whether or not they're educated or not, or smart or not, whether or not they're rich or not, whether or not they're insiders or not. But Christianity completely changes that, the way that we view people. We no longer look at people according to simply external worldly standards. We look at them through the eyes and through the standards of God. Do they need God's peace? Then we show compassion and truth and hope and mercy. Have they experienced God's peace? Then we give them acceptance and support and patience and forgiveness and love. In Jesus, the things that make us different are less important than the things that make us the same. Once we did not have peace, and now, because of God's mercy, we have peace with God. We believe that Jesus moved in time and space to reach us with his peace. And we are filled with a wonder for God's mercy. And do you have the peace with God? Then it is because of God's mercy, not what family you were born into. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Then you're part of the family. Now God is building a house of worship, a temple. And you and I are each a brick, or a plank, or a piece of trim, or a window, or a light switch, or a light, or a chandelier. Now we live to worship the God who has rescued us. Are we different? Sure we are. We'd be boring if we weren't, right? Thank God for that. But our differences no longer divide us. Our differences are part of God's big plan to make this amazing worship house even better. We come to God based upon his mercy in the cross. And because we have peace with God, we are learning to live out of that reality in our relationships with one another, to preserve and to protect and to restore it. Because if you know the extent to which God went to bring you peace, you cannot treat other people mercilessly without peace. When you have peace with Jesus, it becomes contagious. And Christianity removes the external barriers that divide people and gives us an entirely new identity in Jesus Christ. And these things shape that Christ-centered movement of peace in the world. As I wrap up, let me remind you, in the seats in front of you or in the room in which you're sitting by the door or on our church website online in the upper right-hand corner, there's a Let's Connect card, and you can use that to connect with me. If you're a first-time guest, welcome. Thanks so much for being here. Whether you're online or whether you're here in person, please come back. If you're a second-time guest, so grateful we haven't scared you away, please continue coming. And I hope that you will experience West Church as a community of peace. If you'd like to respond to what God is saying either in the message, or if you would like to share a prayer request, you can simply do that and drop it in the offering plate as you leave. What we've been saying is, when those without peace find peace in Christ, they spread peace. The house that Donna and I raised our kids in New Jersey was an 1,100 square foot ranch. And I specifically asked the realtor to help us find a fixer-upper so we could afford it. And many of you who've raised your families when you were young know that experience. And so we spent 20 years of our lives fixing it up whenever we had the time and whatever we had the money. So when we found out that we were coming here to a house on a lake with the woods behind it, with three bathrooms and a full kitchen and a dining room and a huge room in which to welcome guests and hold gatherings with a fireplace, imagine how we felt. When we were candidating last December, Donna and I went over to the house and spent some time walking around and peeking in the corners and taking pictures and imagining what it would be like when it became our house. And we love our new house. The parsonage is awesome. Paul says that God is taking people who had no peace, giving them his peace, and molding that group of people into a brand new house. If Donna and I were able to get that excited about God bringing us to a new house here in Peabody, how excited is God the Father about the new house that he is building of human worshipers for himself? How excited is God about you and I? If we can get excited about One Taylor Street down the road, how excited is God about all of the people that he's bringing together to worship him now? Because of God's peace, we cannot stay the same. We just can't. It's unthinkable. God's peace is as big as a brand new temple made up of human bricks and human boards, people from every tribe and nation and tongue across the globe, people who are far off from God, all being brought together in peace because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And God's new house isn't going to get termites and fall apart. God's new house is forever the people he has redeemed and given eternal life. And we just can't stay the same with God in our lives. His peace keeps moving through us into the world, bringing peace wherever we go. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus.